Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Jules Gill.
Hello everyone.
I'm Ashley Millman.
Hello, I'm also here.
It's true. Now, we have dove into the hashtag over on Twitter to get a handful of questions, and also we'll be diving into all the other games that are coming towards the end of the year, because rather than focus on the amount of things going wrong, we thought we might as well look at stuff that's going to be coming your way when it's all over. You can't say what it is on YouTube, so you've got to dance around it. So the more words you can come up with to refer to it, the better. But yeah, we're going to start with some questions, then we'll delve into the games that are coming the rest of the year. So first up, and you can submit your own questions over using the hashtag WC. CGP on Twitter. First question from Edward Figueroa, I'm going to say. Since we're on the topic of trophies, that's a reference to the last podcast we did. What's a better accomplishment, a platinum trophy or a full 1,000 gamer score? That's a very 2006 question. But
I mean, that's just bringing up the old like console wars again, really, isn't it? I mean, for me, I think that there's something very satisfying about the numerical value of a 1,000 being hit because you know that it's the same target divided over however many achievements. Whereas the Platinum Trophy, while it is like a badge of honor, it feels like it's somehow not tied to as much. Like, I don't know why. I think that it's mainly because I like spreadsheets and I'm very much a Microsoft sort of like, tick the box, that's nice.
Fill out my cells. I've not done, I'm doing the Platinum for Final Fantasy VII at the minute and I think I'm hating it, but I'm just getting there. Oh, it reminds me of like the time when I was in a queue to get into a comic convention for like 3 hours, and every half an hour we were like, oh, should we just leave? Should we just like, you know, give up? It's not worth it. But it's like, well, if I give up now, then that's all that time wasted. And it's just it's just reminding me of that. I'm 30 hours post-game, and I'm still going through it, trying to, like, trigger different cutscenes and stuff.
I have to admit that that is one of the biggest pet peeves that I have, is that when developers clearly have artificially inflated their the length of their game by using trophies and achievements to do it, because, like, I despise games that go like, oh, you completed this game here on this difficulty setting, but you can only get this trophy by doing this. And even worse, when they go, oh, you've completed it on the hardest difficulty setting, but doesn't automatically unlock the ones below it.
Oh, they need a stack.
And I was like, why do you not stack? That's ridiculous.
It's there's something like, stackable difficulty should be something that we need to be mandated in every single game. Ash, where do you come down on gamer score versus trophies?
As someone that is like a big lover of the Xbox, I have to say trophies, because it's because there's just something about a little platinum prize. Like, I love a trophy. I live for a prize. So getting like a little like sticker of it being, oh, platinum, it's the most great medal. I just think it's so much better. Like, 1,000 gamer score, great. Yeah, give me a chump change, but also a platinum trophy. Put it on my shelf, display it. Ooh, lovely.
Did you guys have PlayStation Home back in like 2005?
No, what was that?
See, PlayStation Home was like Sony's attempt at doing like a Second Life thing where you could make a little fake house. It's like Animal Crossing, really. Just make a little fake house and you sort of live on it. And it's really cool. And back then they were talking about like whatever trophies you would get in a game would unlock stuff in the PlayStation Home platform.
That's so pretty cool.
Yeah, and they never followed through on it, but maybe they did in certain instances. But I was promised back in 2004 a Devil May Cry couch, and I never, ever got it. So I don't know that I still would prefer platinum trophies if there's some.
Trust me, after looking at sort of the griminess of the Devil May Cry cast, you probably wouldn't want to be on that couch, mate.
Dante's couch is a Jackson Pollock couch. It's not.
Oh, no, that's disgusting.
It's a good time.
Why have Sony and Microsoft not capitalized on the fact that people love showing off stuff that doesn't really have any sort of tangible real world value? I would gladly on my PS Home or Xbox dashboard have a little thing that was like a trophy cabinet where you could click on it and it physically showed you how many platinum trophies or 1,000+ points you had, and it just was like nothing other than basically like a slightly animated screensaver. I would kill for something like that, because look what I've got.
Yeah, on the PS2 when they had all that, on the PlayStation 2 when you could view your memory card and you had those little 3D icons and for stuff. Just bring that back. Have that be the stuff that you can put next to your little amiibo man, or whatever the hell they're called.
I want a real one, is the thing. If I get 300 platinum trophies or something, you should get a little one sent in the post. Like YouTube milestones where they give you your play button, they should give you an actual platinum trophy.
Imagine if you managed to complete like Doom Eternal on like the hardest difficulty or whatever, and sent you like a tiny little chibi Doom guy thing. That would be such an incentive. I would definitely do that.
I'd pay for it if I did it and it was like, okay, pay us like the $3.99 shipping fee or whatever. I'd be like, here you go, take my money. I want my little platinum trophy.
It's a good time. Okay, so we'll get through. I mean, I love doing the questions, but we always end up talking quite a lot about them. There's many games to get to. It's fine. Let's do some questions. The next one from Alex Hubesty, who says, with the Resident Evil engine, the RE engine, making all the latest Resi games look amazing, does Resident Evil HD remaster hold up anymore, and is it worth playing if you've never played it before? I included this one because, Jules, you're a big Resi fan, but you're shaking your head.
No, I'm shaking my head because it's not even a question. That's like it's a rite of passage to go through the remaster, because for those of you who don't know, the remaster was the GameCube version of the first Resident Evil game. And this one, again, had a few extra tweaks put in as well, updated graphics even further and things like that. The enemy layout was shaken up once again. And honestly, it is hands down one of the best remasters, not just of a Resident Evil game, of any game. It is so honest to its core. It exactly hits the notes that the original had and then some. I would actually say to people looking to get into it to play this over playing the PS1 original, and I do not say that.
No, totally. I mean, Ash, did you go back to the original one, or did you, because I went back to the original one after 2 and 3.
Yeah, I played the like blocky little one. As like
the blocky little one.
I've played bits of it, but it's never one that I've like fully completed. The Resident Evil remaster is actually one that's next on my list to play, like the Resident Evil 1 remaster. So I'm liking this advice from Jules as well for me to take onto it. So yeah.
There's one bit.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, there's one bit in that game, one puzzle, when you have to figure something out. Well, it's right at the beginning where a statue is coming at you with like a blade thing and he's going to cut you. And I hate that bit. The checkpoint to get there takes forever and it's put me off going back through. I went through it once in, 2003, whenever they did it. Yeah. And I've always just gone back to it and gone, I can't be bothered with the statue and the blades again. Every time. But I think that's what you would do.
The game, mate. Just instantly know the solution to the puzzle.
It's so long ago. It's like a decade and a half. Next question from Nicholas Coombs, who says, are we excited for the Crisis remastered? He was hoping for the whole trilogy, but he's excited either way. Be safe and take care. Crisis is another game that I haven't played since back in the 2000s. I don't know if you guys have gone back to it, or have you played it back then?
No, I played it my first time through. I had the luxury of playing it on a friend's computer at university, who was doing an IT course at the time, so had sunk in all of his bursary money and all of like the government grants and stuff that he had into getting this top-end, high-powered computer. Awesome. And even then, I remember it being like a little bit chuggy, but looking amazing. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, like, apart from like this game's graphic, like, what else is good about it? He goes, the shooting's pretty good. The story's pretty, like, absolute bollocks. But, like, it's quite fun. And I can't say that it really grabbed me. As a tech demo, what you can do and the freedom of how you do stuff, I think it was fantastic. But for me, it's like, if you say, do you want to play this? Or do you want to play, like, Halo? Or do you want to play a much inferior-looking game, like Killzone or something like that? I'd be like, I probably would choose those two.
But it's really weird because, like, I mean, back in the day, like, that thing was absolutely mind-blowing in terms of they showed like a grenade going off next to a wooden shack and all the pieces splintered and flew everywhere, and we'd never seen anything like that. And it was incredible. And I think, but it's strange for the remaster, because I was like, oh man, like, because I couldn't afford a PC back then that would be able to run that stuff. So I'm like, okay, maybe in the modern day with the remaster, I'll finally be able to experience this like physics heaven. But they're developing it for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. So unless the Switch has a demonstrably different version, then it's not going to be the all singing, all dancing, amazing textures and physics thing, because the Switch wouldn't be able to handle it. So I think if they're doing like feature parity, it's I don't know, it's still going to be like a dialed down version as opposed to some, you know, like, because I would want something for the PS4 Pro or the Xbox One X.
I never played the original Crysis, so I'm so in for remakes and remasters and everything. Cause it's like it gets me back into the original stuff. And it's if it's something I missed the first time around, give me the remaster. So I'm excited for anything like that.
Have you played Final Fantasy VII Remake yet?
No, I love a remake, but I haven't played Final Fantasy.
No, it's fine. That's fine. My advice was going to be go play the original. That's the good.
Oh, really? Good. Do you not think that out of the two, you think the original is better than the remake?
Yes. Yeah. I still love the remake, but I was going to do a little swerve there. I think you should play the original. I think everyone should play the original. To be honest, everyone's like, it looks bad. It does look bad, but it's amazing and it's really well written. The last question from Coach Marv: betas have essentially become like soft openings or trials for some games. Would you like to see a return to a more standard demo format, or demos becoming mandatory for most games? Hell yeah, that seems like the most obvious thing going forward.
Like the whole move towards this games as service absolute billy, where they've just basically wheeled out a game that's in alpha state or just thereabout, and you're expected to pay upfront a massive cost and then basically wait a year or 2 years. Like, people are now saying to me, oh, Jules, you should go play Fallout 76 because it's just getting good. I'm sorry, the game's been out for what, 2 years now? Why the hell? Like, why should I give it another chance now? Especially when the people that are saying that are saying, well, when I say it's good, I mean it's bearable. I'm like,
as a No Man's Sky fan, but I would maintain that game was fine from day one. But yeah, with Fallout, it's weird because it's like, how many different times should they be given the benefit of the doubt? And even in Wastelander's case, like you said, it's like Rich tried it over the weekend and just said that, like, well, it's, you know, there's content there, there's quests and dialogue and stuff, but it's still buggy as hell.
There's a very easy way to fix this entire games as service thing, and that is to not charge your player base a full price for that title. It is not a full price game because you are releasing it in a not finished state. You're releasing it in a state to, like a vanilla state. You should reward people for basically becoming ground floor founders at a discounted price, heavily discounted. Yeah. And then as the roadmap comes in and new stuff gets added in, the price goes up according to the reviews, aggregate demand or whatever that the audience has said that they want for it. If it comes out and you put an expansion pack in and it's utter hot garbage, then it shouldn't add anything to the price because I don't want to pay for something like that.
Yeah, I think it's like,
I get annoyed again. I always
especially in terms of demos. I mean, I remember on the Xbox Live store for the 360, you could guarantee you're going to get a demo if something was on there. That just doesn't seem to be like it's mandated anymore. I don't know if that's what you were going to say, Ash.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of demo stuff. I'm not a big fan of betas or things where you can play it before it's finished because I feel like it's kind of a cop-out. It's like, oh, okay, well, here you go. You can play this for now and get it for this price or whatever, or have a little go or whatever. And it just give me the whole thing that you finished, where you've like worked really hard and polished it up. And if you have like play testers or whatever, fair enough. Or if you advertise the beta as a play testing state, fair enough. But don't advertise it as early access to a game that's not finished and is going to be a bad experience for everyone. Because then you're just shooting yourself in the foot for the actual release as well. Like Fallout 76 was absolutely, this isn't finished, it's buggy as hell. We need you to test it before it's like breaks on us in the real world. And it's just a bit insulting when it's like, no, I'd rather pay my full price for a finished game that you have put out to a great degree that is worthy of everyone's time, including your own that you spent making it. A demo, I think, is more like a, here is a showcasing all the best bits of our game that we want you to buy it, like a little try before you buy, snippet, chomp, chomp. Whereas this is like a beta is not that. Personally.
But my thing was like looking at the way Resident Evil 2 did it, where they'd finished the game and then they just gave you like the whole opening. It was just like you play for half an hour, see how far you can get. I think they changed around a couple of the weapon drops, but you knew exactly what you were buying. And it's like you finished that trial and it was like, well, if you want the full game, you know, cough up the cash, keep going. Or at least you can then access the full game. For me, that's the perfect way to do it. Like, I get that on the developer side, it's hard preparing a vertical slice, like an early level, if you're still in full production. But just siphon a part of the game off afterwards, siphon a part of the final build off and put a time limit on it. And like, yeah, sure, there'll be some people that'll figure out a way to hack it and access more of it and stuff, but they've got to be a fraction of the overall public. And like, vast majority of people would benefit from that. Anyway, let's move into the games that are coming for the rest of 2020, because there's a weird lull in the middle of the year. But before the end of April, I wanted to note that XCOM Chimera Squad is coming, Gears Tactics, Streets of Rage 4, Predator Hunting Grounds, all four of them are all in the next couple of weeks. Now, Jules, you're a huge XCOM fan. We should quickly touch on Chimera Squad.
I am. And you know what? I am loving the fact that they are throwing the entire thing out of the window with Chimera Squad.
It's so weird.
like, this is the thing. I saw people getting irate about this. I don't know if you guys trailer or follow the XCOM lore very much.
I'm a humongous XCOM fan. I wasn't irate, but I was weird when they had aliens on the squad.
But the thing, I'm going to defend it. So basically, XCOM 2 happens, and then this is set. Chimera Squad is set 5 years after the event of that. So that's why you've got the aliens working with the humans to restore peace and humanity, because they are working together for cooperation rather than for nefarious things. And those people are just going like, oh, but these were the bad guys who were doing that. It's like, well, they were a collective of alien races that were all brought together by a mind-controlling superpower. So don't judge them for the actions that they had to do while they were under the power of that. So I'm very much for that.
I'm a huge XCOM fan, but on the gameplay side, I still haven't played War of the Chosen because I didn't have a computer that could run it back when it first came out. I know it's like the best thing. I was too busy playing Mario and Rabbids, the Kingdom thing, back in that year. But Ash, are you an XCOM fan? Are you going to be diving in?
No, XCOM isn't really my bag, but out of all those titles you have given me, Streets of Rage 4 is the one that I am very excited for. I got a little tester of that at the that big event we went to, EGX. And had a lovely time with that with Rich. And Rich is very excited for it as well. And just playing like the old ones. My dad has like a stupid like pinball, like old games machine.
You describe this as stupid. Your dad's got a home arcade unit. That is not stupid. Your dad's rich.
You know what I mean? I know. It's good. It's very good. It's opened my horizons to so many old games that I wouldn't have had before. It's a really cool machine. So playing Streets of Rage on that and then being like, oh God, the new one's coming out, y'all. I'm very excited for it.
The animation looks incredible for it. The thing with beat-em-ups is that I always find, because I played, do you guys play Mother Russia Bleeds? That game was so brutal and it looked really awesome. I like the score and everything, but I always find in beat-em-ups, it never feels that comfortable when you're trying to line up with an enemy. You're always slightly off.
When you and I, when I started working here, I think it was like in 2017, you and I had, we came up with two lists, which were things that were better back in the day about gaming and things that modern day gaming does now. And you and I both said almost in unison when we were talking about the bad things from the past, and that was Planes of Existence for beat-em-ups and stuff like that. Because I totally agree with you, having to line stuff up sucks, but the Streets of Rage 4 one has done a great job with that.
It looks lush. In terms of another game, just to quickly touch on, is Ghost of Tsushima is going to be coming at the end of June. So there is a big... there are things dropping in May, but very little. Those games that I mentioned before are in April. Ghost of Tsushima is June 26th. And then there's absolutely bugger all until the end of the year. So the ones coming from the end of the year, the first one is The Avengers on September 4th. That was delayed. But I guess we can talk about The Avengers. Where are you guys on it? Because I'm the most lukewarm man on The Avengers right now. Just not bothered.
We played an off-the-floor demo at EGX of The Avengers, where we got to play a combat training room. So we really got to have a hands-on with the combat rather than the scripted events that other people were playing for the opening level of the game. And I have to say that the combat system in it is kind of like a beat-em-up mixed with the likes of the Marvel Spider-Mans and Batmans. You've got your counters and your special moves and stuff like that. But what this game has is a really interesting chain mechanic where I found that I was like going from enemy to enemy to enemy and beating stuff up. It's kind of like that rhythm action game style feel, the gameplay. I really enjoyed it. I can't see this being... like groundbreaking. I can see it just being a really competent superhero game, but unfortunately it's competing directly with the likes of Batman Arkham Asylum and City, not so much Knight in my opinion, and Marvel Spider-Man, and that is a very hefty goal. I don't know where it will stand with that. I just hope that they don't chuck in a load of microtransactions, which it really seems like it's going to. The developers assured me that it wasn't going to happen, but then they kept on releasing stuff that was like, oh, but you'll be able to download all these extra missions. It's only going to be cosmetic stuff. It's not going to affect how your character levels up, but characters will level up with armor pieces, which come from random loot drops and stuff like that. You're really just gonna you're gonna put them in as soon as
They've got like a whole like multiplayer platform thing. Like they want to do all these like endless battles, which is very Ultimate Alliance 3. The reason I'm kind of lukewarm on it is just I think they've kind of missed their window in regards to like when the MCU was absolutely flying. And I also think that as much as I love Troy Baker and Nolan North, and I love that they've done their versions of the characters, it doesn't feel anywhere near as confident as Insomniac Spider-Man in terms of like, you know, doing their version of the lore. And the people that they've cast the face models and stuff for the whole crew. Just, I don't know, everyone just looks a bit bland. It all looks a bit stripped of personality.
I think they've all got their own faces, like, but you just, so, I'm so used to the movie versions now that seeing this whole new iteration again, I feel like I've got Avenger fatigue, like not even superhero fatigue, like full Avenger fatigue. And I think you're right in saying that it comes a bit late with the timing as well. I'm not particularly enthused about it. I'm not like, oh my God, I am gagging to play Marvel's Avengers. I don't think it's going to be bad, but I also don't think it's going to be like, I don't think it's going to be the next Spider-Man, like Joel says, like with the market that it's inhabiting. I don't think it has the oomph of something that has overtaken everything else that's already out there. It's interesting, and it's an interesting title. I really hope Ewan enjoys it. That's all I want. I want you to have a good time with it. But otherwise, I'm not really asked about it.
Bless little Ewan. It's like, what Doom Eternal was to Rich, the Avengers is going to be Ewan's shining light. Because 2 weeks after that, on September 17th, is Cyberpunk 2077.
Yes!
CDPR have insisted they're hitting their day. They haven't been too drastically affected by it that's going on. And so I mean, we can talk a little bit about Cyberpunk. There's obviously so much. We've already covered it a couple of times in the past on the pod. But where are you guys on Cyberpunk hype right now?
So it was meant to come out like last week.
A couple of days ago in terms of when we're recording.
Yeah, which is mad when you consider it. But I am really glad in a way that they announced it because they wanted to like polish it up and do more to it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Still don't know where this game is going to come in. I am incredibly excited, but that makes me really worried because it's like, am I imagining a game that this isn't going to be?
No, no, you're not. It's going to be great. I just don't know how they can go wrong. It's CD Projekt Red. It is a next level, massive sci-fi. It's The Witcher in space. Like, you can't go wrong. It's going to be so good.
The thing that makes me worried is that they've never done a first-person shooter before. And like, every time they show the gameplay, it doesn't look that great. Like, I love their world building. I love CDPR so much. I love Cyberpunk so much. But sometimes when they show the gameplay, like, besides the some of the dialogue being a bit cringe, like some of the specifics, they're going for a very like 80s dude thing, and I get that, because that's obviously when the genre was born. But just some of it looks a bit cringe on that end, and then the gameplay, like, it's their first person shooter. That might be the thing that goes wrong. I don't mean to be Mr. Negi, as always.
You want Mr. Negi?
I'm just balancing it. I'm just Mr. Ball. I'm just balancing it out.
Negi egg. No, I think it is. I think it looks incredible. I think that everything they do with it's going to be incredible. I think the amount of time they've taken on it and that they are unafraid to take more time on it is an incredible thing to see, because you know they care about it and going to produce something that is real hot potato level. I'm trying not to use any excited curse words. I just think it looks fantastic. And I'm excited to see them go into a new genre, like you say, with the first person stuff. And from what I have seen on it, I think it looks very capable. I think it looks really good. And I'm just so excited to envelop myself in a new world full of story and narrative branching options, and that is going to be endlessly explorable. That is like the new Red Dead Redemption in it, because everyone's had their like cowboy years. Now they're going to have their sci-fi years.
I do love that there, because if you do the Cyberpunk 2020, the adventure book where you make your own character and it's all very like choose your own adventure and like the tabletop RPG thing, that's great, and that is so multifaceted. The amount of permutations you can have from character builds to quests and enemies and everything else. If they've even remotely replicated that amount of customization and like the different ways the whole thing can play out, that'll be incredible. I do like the idea of like customizing something from the ground up, and that the game malforming its like, you know, all the content to just you and everyone's individual play being completely different. That stuff sounds cool. The next game down, Ogonjules.
I want to say, man, which is that whatever happens to Cyberpunk in terms of a game, in terms of a marketing campaign, is probably one of the most successful things I've probably ever experienced. Because not
breathtaking, you might say.
It's aesthetic. Very good. Its aesthetic is one that's just like, it will live on beyond its release and everything like that. I love the way that they've managed to use all like celebrities' involvement in it. It's going to be successful no matter what. And I feel like that's just they're releasing it as a game, not as a part of a game or as something to build on. It is like a standalone thing. It's confident, and that's not all. Very often.
We pretty much are getting a new Refused album as well, because they are the band Samurai. Like, they're the main band that Keanu Reeves sings for. So if you're a Refused fan, then you're getting all the new.
I just don't understand how you can't be excited for every single piece of this game. And even the 80s tune, as you say, I just feel like it's so tongue-in-cheek. Like, they know what they're doing with being like, hey, y'all, bro, I'm going to cut you with my big pointy cyber knife. Dude, like, give it to me.
You should look at
it over me.
Some of the excerpts from the 2020 book, where it's just sort of like, hey man, all these slicers are trying to get with my hacks, but they can't be done because I'm not radical. And it's just like, oh God.
I love it. I live for it. That's how I talk to myself in the mirror in the morning.
How you psych yourself up. Yeah. Next one down. Now, this is this next game is one of the only ones left that has a specific date. Everything after that is delayed indefinitely, but still penned in for 2020. So the next game is Halo Infinite. Now, that's meant to tie in with the Xbox Series X launch. It's meant to be a launch title. But I guess it's just the general question of how much do we care about Halo in 2020, and like, where do you think that Microsoft are at in terms of popping it with the new system?
Don't be so dismissive of it, because like, who's interested in it? Like, I feel like people are very interested and will support this Halo franchise, because if anything, they need a win after Halo 5, because Guardians was. It wasn't made for the fans. It was made to usher in a new generation of people to put a new studio stamp on it. And unfortunately, it didn't hit the ground running as best as they thought it would. Infinite is their chance to prove them all wrong and show them that there is so much to love about Halo So that's actually
you're like if I was like the mad raving man in the padded cell who's just bouncing off the walls, and you just come in with your clipboard and go, it's not that bad, is it? Look, just calm down, have an apple, it's all right.
Although, yeah, having this Xbox One now, because I haven't had one for ages, I have played Halo 5 Guys, and oh man, I said so the last time that's I played
Halo 5 Guys.
Yeah.
Okay. How much you really want a 5 Guys?
When did Halo 4 drop? Like 20.
Oh, God, 2012, I think, or 2011.
Yeah, so that was the last experience I ever had with Halo. And then going back and playing that fairly recently, I was just like, oh, this is not for me.
The thing that's really weird is that they did, Halo 4 and 5 was meant to be the first two parts of a new trilogy, like this new story about Cortana and her rampancy and like Chief versus Cortana and all this stuff. Obviously, Halo 5's marketing was a big old lie. It had almost nothing to do with Spartan Locke versus him. And then 6, they've just gone, well, it's not even 6 anymore. It's just Infinite, and we're just going to kind of reboot it again. But Ash, are you a Halo fan?
No, I like the Xbox, but Halo was never my bag. I like what it stands for and that everyone has a nice time with it, and I will give it a go because I'm more than likely going to stick with Xbox when the whole the console thing happens around. Actually, I don't know what I'm going to pick. I don't know why I say that, but if there's an Xbox around, I'll give Halo a go because I feel like, again, it's another invitation for people who weren't maybe into it into the past to give it another go, isn't it? So it's kind of like the nice remake reboot train that I can hop on and go, oh, I'll see if I want to take this to the station or not.
Curious like how they do, because like Jules was saying about Halo 5 feeling a little bit weird, that was when they brought in like aiming down sights and like knee slides and stuff. They were kind of trying to chase a little bit of Call of Duty, a little bit of Titanfall. Yeah. And I kind of want them to just be Halo, be their own thing, and excel that way.
If you think about it, since the year 2000, people have been saying this is meant to be the Halo killer or whenever, like, so when did that change? When did Halo say you are?
But Killzone was the original Halo killer.
Last thing, that was the term. Everything was Halo killer, as in the FPS that was trying to take their crown. And what they stop, and I think it's you notice it more when they start in adding in other features from other titles rather than trying to expand on their own. Like, we all knew that it was a bit weird that Master Chief probably didn't slide around on his knees because he was a giant, like, robotic man, he could do this sort of stuff, but he didn't need to. So, what ended up happening, all that happens is it highlights why you're chasing somebody else's trend.
The whole thing with taking the crown as well, like Halo's pretty much like King Theoden in the middle of Lord of the Rings, just an ancient man sitting on a throne, still alive.
That's bringing to his ear.
Do another sequel.
Any other time, I'd say I would agree with you with the opening statement of "Who cares about Halo, Scott?"
I didn't even say that, did I?
I heard those exact words. Quote Scott.
I get moved into another room and it all goes sideways.
I heard you say, "Oh, I hate Halo and everything about it." But no, I personally would be like, "Yeah, its time has come. Let it die peacefully." But if they've got something they can put it out of the bag with, and again get people interested and do something new that harks back to the glory days, then you'd go for it. You know what I mean? There's space for it. There's room for it. Throw it out there.
It's true. Those are some very harsh words on the Final Fantasy VII remake, but I think we should move on to Deadly Premonition 2. Now, this is one of the only games the rest of these are penciled in for 2020, so we'll get through them a little bit quicker. But yeah, Deadly Premonition 2 is still meant to be coming this year. Jules, the idea of them doing another Deadly Premonition, do you think they'll get it right?
Your face are full of joy.
My mind is blown because of the fact that I never thought I would ever get a sequel to one of the most craptacular games ever played. I've never had as much fun as I have playing a Deadly Premonition game. Like, it is so bizarrely bad, yet I find myself so entranced by it that I can only hope that they replicate it into this. And I'm worried because now what's happened? You have this game come out and you've had the developer sitting there taking all this feedback, getting all these people saying that they love it because of how weird it is and how off the wall. Is that not going to skew your development thing of being like, well, I guess I better add in more weird stuff? What if it becomes to the level of like parodying itself where it's not even funny anymore?
No. What, when Nicolas Cage clocked that he was Nick Cage?
Actually, God, that whole like banter snake eating its own tail has managed to devour like Nicolas Cage a little bit, Jeff Goldblum almost entirely. Like the more self-aware you get, the more you can't be as fresh. I don't know. I think I trust Sweary. But is it Sweary or Suda?
It's Sweary. we'll never know what's going through his head, because he still to this day denies that he's had any influence from Twin Peaks. So the man's actually...
Hopefully it's another satisfying murder mystery thing that maybe ends with an oversized plant man. Yeah. But we'll have to see.
The other game that he released, which was like about... I can't remember what the
D4.
Game was. The Missing, where it's like a woman who can turn into a cat at night.
That's D4. That's Deadly Dreams Don't Die or something.
Is that what it is?
There's
another one that he's done then, which is really good. It's got great reviews, and it's about like love and overcoming loss and grief and stuff like that. But it also has you turning into animals. Ash, you'd love it. I'm sold.
Yeah.
There's that D4 thing has a, you live in like an apartment building and there's a woman that lives opposite you and she can turn into a cat. So just lots of cats, transforming cats.
I need to get into this back catalogue way more. I haven't played Deadly Premonition purely. I've stopped myself from doing it because I enjoy listening to you two, especially you, Jules, describe it to me so much more. Like every time it comes up in a list or in a news or in a podcast, the way you guys talk about it, I don't think you can ever live up to like what's in my head.
I think I'd still recommend you play it though. It's like it's good to be in here. The water's lovely. It's really, really good. I'd recommend it. Next game down. Oh god.
Game we're talking about, by the way. It is called The Missing, J.J. Macfield and the Island of Memories. It was released in 2018. And what it is it's a puzzle platformer horror game. And the plot is she must inflict grisly wounds on herself in order to solve the game's mysteries. Ooh.
Gross. It
sounds like Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Game down is No More Heroes 3. Now, this has another vague 2020 release date. It's another Jules game. No More Heroes, the last one they did was that weird top-down arcadey thing. And you could unlock indie developer game shits, which I loved. You can get an entire collection of stuff. It's a nice little tribute to all those devs, but the actual game... I couldn't play Plague Knight or a Plague Knight. It was just missing them. But you could get a lot of other things. Where'd you come down on No More Heroes 3, the next proper one?
I'll let Ash build this one because I've already got my answer. And that is
I feel like it's another one where I need to revisit the old ones again, innit? Because, again, it's another one that I spoke about with Jules loads because of his impassioned love for this very strange game. I need to see how it goes for you. You explain it to me and me decide if this wash of strangeness is if I go for it or not. But, yeah, I'm just excited to hear you speak about it again.
The trailer for this game has put me right rocket strapped. Yep. I've gone straight to the moon because it starts off with like it looks like a sort of Ghibli animation of this like kid finding this alien and it's like protecting it like E.T. from the government. And you think,
oh my God, is it? It's that trailer. I remember it now. Jesus.
And it reiterates everything and then he goes, and then the brain goes, let's start some killing like that. It's like, yeah, it makes no sense.
It reminds me a lot of One Punch Man. It's kind of like obviously No More Heroes predates it, but it's about time that series came back and just did its own brand of wack. It's wackiness with confidence that I find hardly any other teams can get right. So for the next three games, we can just get through these pretty quickly, but these are the ones that are delayed indefinitely. So assumably it's just going to be whenever production lines free up, whenever it's safe again, whatever, these things will drop. So there's three games that are delayed indefinitely. One is Watch Dogs Legion, which I don't know how...
Yeah,
I'm mentioning a game, then I go, "Do we care?" But do we care? Yes. Do we care about Watch Dogs Legion?
It's fine. Like, thank you for Watch Dogs Legion, but
Mr. Soft,
thank you for it. But I'm not oh my God, I need to play Watch Dogs Legion.
I tell you what's a really weird thing with that is that they set it in post-Brexit England. And it's meant to be like straight after it when everyone's all divided or whatever. And then it's this kind of weird tech culture version of England. But then obviously all the other stuff happened. It happened. And it's just like, how many are people even, does anybody want to play that at this stage?
My favorite thing is that Ubisoft has just gone like, oh yeah, so we'll do this like post-Brexit thing. Oh yeah. And then another developer's there. It's like, oh wicked. So we're going for like an apocalyptic vibe, are we, for this one? No, we're going for a tech future one. It's like, I'm sorry. You think that Britain, when they remove themselves from like the rest of their like Commonwealth, are going to somehow have a tech boom? What?
Just a crumpet distribution machine 5,000. Next game,
crumpets.
I would take it. Next game down is Iron Man VR. This got delayed on the same day as The Last of Us 2, which is the third game, but we can quickly talk about Iron Man. Did you guys happen to play that at the event you went to last year?
I did, yeah.
Was it a good time?
Rich loved it, but Rich Mr. VR Man loved it. It made me feel a bit sick because I'm not so good with VR, but it's really good fun. It's really innovative, and you actually feel like you're in the Iron Man suit, and you have to use the little blasters to put under your blasty zone, so you're like, oh, I've lost my words today, his hand shooter, and you
and
yes, thank you. So you propulse, and this I do example, he's got this you have to use it like that, and then fly around and then shoot with them and then spin around and stuff. I had the headset on way too tight, so I was feeling sick and strapped into this thing going, flying around.
In a way that's more immersive and realistic, I guess.
But it was actually really good fun because of that, and you play through the training bit where you're like, oh, hey, Friday, what's going on? Let's do some practice and shooting. Hey, Pepper. So it's every Marvel fan's wet dream because you can be Mr. Tony Stark, which every boy wants to be, I assume, and every girl as well, and everyone else. Everyone wants to be Tony Stark, so live the dream.
It feels like they're doing for Iron Man what the Batman Arkham VR did, where it's kind of a series of and then you're talking, it's almost like if you drew up a checklist of, what are the biggest takeaway set piece moments of that character, and it's like, okay, I'm going to run down them. That's a pretty good way to go. Jules, did you say you played it as well?
No, I didn't get a chance to play it. I was filming them play it, and it looks really interesting. I'm yet to really sort of jump on the VR bandwagon. I'm waiting until the prices go down so I can try out the Resident Evil 7 fully through VR.
Yeah. I bought PSVR for No Man's Sky, which is the lovely. I picked a lot of flowers in VR, and it was lovely. It's just so good, mate. You should get it. I totally recommend it.
Never change.
Yeah, you ever looking to sell on your headset, mate? I'll buy it off you.
No, I've got to jack in the rest of tonight and get the rest of the flowers, mate. I can't really sign up on that yet. Last game, which is delayed indefinitely or quote-unquote until further notice, is The Last of Us 2. The other massive game that would be the contender for Game of the Year, because it's obvious. It's going to be between Cyberpunk, Last of Us, Doom, whatever. But it's Last of Us 2 is obviously the next massive important game next to Cyberpunk. Where are you guys on the hype levels for Last of Us?
Unbelievably.
If Jules says he's got his rocket on and has hit the moon for No More Heroes, that I feel like the moon has exploded. My rocket has gone through it and I've gone into the space zone to Jupiter. I'm very excited for The Last of Us.
Transdimensional loving.
Yeah, we've spoke about it so much. We've spoke about all the theories and stuff that could go on and all the fun things that are happening with it and how beautiful it looks and how beautiful the story is. And you know what? Take as much time as you need to make it perfect. Take as much time as you need, but also give it me now.
Those
are the two.
Just the best thing that they can do is that they've got that ability to now pick whichever release date they put out. Yeah. They literally can now just wait until their competitors choose points to drop their games and then go, and now The Last of Us 2 is coming out on a different date. There's no competition. We can build up the hype and we'll get all the sales.
It's weird because it's going to clash a little bit with the PS5 if they're still planning on dropping the PS5 towards the end of this year. Because it's if that thing, it's meant to be fully backwards compatible with PS4 and PS4 Pro games. So it's do they just drop it and put it in a bundle with the PS5? It looks gorgeous enough anyway. You could probably just, let it go and it would look like a PS5 game.
They just did the re-architecture it for PS5 and did that.
I guess it would free, because when they did The Last of Us remastered, they went back and obviously tweaked obviously the frame rate and some textures and stuff. But with the PS5 just being backwards compatible, assumedly it'll just work. But yeah, in terms of the story stuff, the game and everything, I need to know what they've done. I need to know what they've thought of on a script level. How do you continue this story when it had one of the best endings ever? Neil Druckmann and Bruce Straley before he left, they said that they would only return to this fiction if they had a worthwhile story to tell.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, what did you think you had to tell after this, and does it involve everybody dying?
God, they could stir so many things up, so many feelings that I'm not ready to feel. I don't feel grown up enough for it to happen. I'm so excited, but again, take all the time because it's going to be such an experience, whatever it is. Even if it's disappointing, that will be a next level experience. I'll be like, oh my god, I waited for this.
True. It'll still be another talking point. But yeah, so those are all the games coming after it is over in theory. So let us know your favorites down in the comments below, or come find us on social media. You can also use the hashtag WCGP to leave us some questions, and we'll get to them in the future episodes. For now, though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Jules Gill.
Thank you very much for having me. Hope you're all well.
And Ash Milburn.
Thank you for having me. I also hope you're well. Goodbye.
Bye.
Yeah, guys.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.